So the new Coon Creek Girls. How did you become a member of the new Coon Creek Girls?
Well, Vicki Simmons called me one day. I'd been down for a summer. I'd gone to sing back up and play banjo and guitar with Johnny. I don't think I played guitar. I think I just sang back up and played banjo with Johnny Russell. He was an RCA artist, singer-songwriter from here. And he decided to open a Mountain Music Hall in the summer of 82. And so anyway, I had gone, a friend of mine was playing fiddle. Buddy Griffin was playing with Johnny. And so that had lasted a summer. And Johnny had listened to my songs and given me some good tips as a songwriter. And so I'd come back. I'd just come back to Cincinnati. I was living over the river there in Cincinnati and in Oakley. And the phone rang one day, and it was Vicki Simmons, and she was the founder of the new Coon Creek Girls when they started at Renfro Valley back in the 70s. Well, now it's like the early 80s. It's like 83. And I was kind of itching to play bluegrass again because I'd been doing the country thing with Johnny, and I'd been playing with Rainmaker around Cincinnati. They were like a country rock band. They did like Pure Prairie League, and I loved all that. And I wanted to be Emmylou Harris someday. That was my dream, is to have a country grass band and be my own band, you know. But also, I missed bluegrass. And when Vicki called, I just had a really sweet feeling in my heart. I thought, I miss the festivals, you know. And so I drove down to Berea, Kentucky, and met her and the other women. There were four of us, and joined the band and stayed with them up until I moved to Nashville to join Wild Rose. I was with them till the end of 86, you know, so that was a really, really fun time because we were real progressive. They had started out traditional, but I was writing, and Pam Perry was in the band as well, and Pam wound up joining the new Wild Rose later too. So there, the last couple of years with the new Coon Creek Girls, we and Wanda Barnett, we were like doing some different stuff, like trying some different things. And we remember we got into the contest at Spigma, and we made it to the finals, and then we didn't win. But those were big. That was a big deal when you're, you know, 23 or 24 years old, and you're like just starting out, and you're playing these bluegrass festivals, and they're having the contest. And then we entered the Marlboro contest, and we got in the finals there, but we didn't win, you know. I think your band did. No, I read that about
you. We did win the Marlboro contest.
Oh, you won!
In Iowa.
Oh,
yeah,
maybe you beat us.
We did.
Well,
it was Iowa.
Oh, so. You were Iowa.
Okay. Yeah, we were Iowa.
Yeah, we played at Breedings in Lexington.
Yeah. Talk about the Wild Rose Band.
Well, Wild Rose came along at the end of 86. Wanda Vick called me. And it was the summer of 86. And I had moved from Cincinnati back home. I don't really remember why I left my apartment. I don't remember. But anyway, I moved back home for a year and lived with my parents. And I had a little, and I took down the downstairs. And I can just remember one day Vicki calling me and saying that somebody had given her my name. They were looking for a girl banjo player. And I'm sorry, you just said Wanda Vick. Excuse me. I was with the Coons, and Wanda Vick called me one day and said they were looking for a female. They wanted a female singer with this. They wanted to put together an all-girl country band in Nashville. And I thought, oh, I don't think I want to do an all-girl thing, because I've been doing an all-girl thing for 4 years. And, you know, I'm making a living here playing music. I was teaching, also taught banjo. And then we were playing all the time, almost every weekend. And if I moved to Nashville, I don't think that'll probably be cutesy and novelty-ish. I did think that. I'm ashamed that I did, but I just thought, well, because I get mad when people would assume that about us. But I did the same thing. I thought, oh, it'll be kind of cutesy maybe. And isn't that awful? I'm ashamed of myself. But I knew Wanda Vick. I knew her music because I had heard her one night on the Grand Ole Opry with Porter Wagoner. And she played banjo, too. Real good banjo player. And she did all these chromatics and stuff. I was never a real chromatic player. And they said, that's Wanda Vick. And I always remember that name. And I had come to Nashville and picked with her one night at the Station Inn, too. And she was really a good player, great fiddle player. And I thought, gosh, I know she's good, you know. I shouldn't just walk away. I should at least go down and check this out. So, okay, I'll come down there. Kathy Chiavola had given them my name, because they had asked Kathy to sing with Walters, and she was doing a solo thing, and she said, but there's this girl named Pam Gadd up in Northern Kentucky. And so I go down there and absolutely loved them the minute I walked. We were all the same age, you know, we were Christians. It was like a real gel of spirits that came together. I mean, not in every way, but mostly, you know, and it just, us being the same age and having played country, they had played country music, see, and I had only played a little country with Rainmaker and with Johnny Russell, and so this was a new experience for me. I mean, I actually wound up buying my first volume pedal. I stupidly had a pickup put in Mom's Martin guitar so that I could play it through a stupid amplifier, because we started playing in bars around Nashville and traveling and doing fairs and VFW halls. Oh, what an idiot that I did that. But I had them put in a pickup in my mom's 1953 D18. Get this, I traded a Dobro that I had that was a wonderful old Dobro. I was from the 30s. I traded it in for a stupid amplifier to Bobby Seymour. He had that store out there in Millersville, and I could kick my butt for selling my Dobro, but, you know, I'm sure the amp wasn't. A Martin does not sound good through an electric guitar amp, you know?
So Wild Rose has some awful major accomplishments.
Oh, well, Wild Rose was a fun, fun, sweet memory. I was in my late 20s, and I was in my, well, okay, so I moved down there in the summer of 80. I moved down in August. See, I came to them. I remember now. It was August of 86. I came down and auditioned and met them all. And then I started driving to Nashville, you know, and we'd rehearse. And I gave the new Coon Creek, we called ourselves the Coons. I gave the Coons a notice and stayed with them till the end of the year. And they hired Annie then on banjo, and she took that last gig down at Jekyll Island. And I wanted to do that gig, but they felt like they needed to offer her a really good opening gig. So that, you know, I wound up moving to Nashville February 4th, 1987. And my birthday was the very next day. And it was just a really neat thing to move. And I moved in this house with Wanda and Nancy Prout was her name. Nancy, at the time, she was married to Brian Prout, who was also a drummer in a band that nobody had heard of called the Tennessee River Boys that played out at Opryland. And so they were downstairs, and then they got a deal later and became Diamond Rio, you know. But at the time, they were unknowns, and so were we. And we called the band Misbehavin', and thinking that was really clever. And I remember writing a letter to Gail Davies and asking her if she would produce us. And she wrote me back and said, she was really flattered that we asked, and we've been friends ever since, but she didn't produce it. She couldn't really do that. She was doing her own thing. And so we tried for a couple of years to get a deal, and one time or another, about all of us lived in that house, you know. And then eventually we went through one personnel change. Lisa Spears, we left the band, and she just passed away last year, too. I was really sad. We've all been heartbroken about that. But so anyway, when Lisa left, Pam Perry, I said, well, you all know this other instrumentalist. She don't play steel, but she plays mandolin. And I was always pushing for us to be a little bluegrass, you know, because I loved bluegrass. And Wanda was a bluegrasser. Wanda played fiddle and dobro and banjo and acoustic flat top, too. And so we call Pam, and she comes down and auditions. And of course, it just absolutely clicked. And so there we were again in this band together, me and Pam Perry, you know, Pam and Pam. And we had a blast. And after that, then we had already tried to get a deal. Terry Choate had tried to help us get a deal. We auditioned. We showcased for, I want to say
Jimmy Bowen?
I want to say Jim Fogelsong. Is that his name? With Columbia Records or something? Jim Fogelsong.
Fogelsong.
Jim Fogelsong. And he passed on us. He said he didn't think we were ready. And maybe that was before Pam joined the band, maybe. I don't remember. But so we got passed. And then Pam came, and she really went rounded it out. She added a complete dimension that we did not have. For one thing, she was really sexy and beautiful. And I never did have that look, that sexy, beautiful. I was just always real intense and serious. And I can remember singing, you know, her and Pam, her and Wanda would wear these little leather mini skirts, you know. And I always wanted to wear hats. And I mean, I just wasn't prissy. And I think because Emmy Lou had been such an impact on me. She'd sassed out there in those jeans and those tall boots. And I just wanted to have my own look. You know, I didn't want to look like a prissy. And so I'd be singing my heart out, Bronson. And I'd look over and all the guys would be staring at Pam Perry's legs. It just used to tick me off. I think, hello, I'm singing over here, you know. No, but we all got along great and laughed and I remember we bought Miss Kitty's old bus. We bought Kitty Wells' bus. That was our first bus. And I remember getting on the bus at night, and I can remember pulling out of the parking lot over there at Two Rivers Church, right up the street from Opryland, and on McGavick, because we lived on McGavick, you know, all of us hanging out there in the house. And that was the first night we bought that bus, and the little overhead lights were on, and everybody had gone to bed, and the driver was up front, and I was just sitting there, and I turned sideways on the couch, and it was like, just like talking to God, you know, like, I can't believe this is so amazing. Thank you, God. You know, I mean, it wasn't the dream I had dreamed as far as me and my band and doing like what Emmy Lou had done, because I really wanted to be a lead singer, but I was doing that, and I was a lead singer, and I was friends with all my band, and we were all the band, and it, you know, and after that, it was never the same. Once I was with them for 7 years, and I always have missed that camaraderie. You know, you always dream of being a solo artist, and I tried it on my own. It was so hard. It was really hard to be a bluegrass leader, and gosh, I have to do everything. I was having to do everything, manage and be an agent, and I'm just not cut out for that, really. You know, I just worried. I think I worried for a living until I finally just kind of went back to school, and that's a whole other story. That's kind of what. So for about the last 20 years, I've been doing other things too, but things sure didn't go like I thought they would after Wild Rose. You know.
Well, you got a solo deal, though. You got signed.
Well, I did, and I know, but the problem, I think, looking back, the biggest thing I always had missing was management. I didn't have strong management, and I'm nervous, you know, and I just didn't know how to be a businesswoman. I mean, and Vanguard picked up my album, so I followed my heart and did the solo thing, and I mixed, I thought, the heck with country music. They would turn my banjo down on all of our records. They'd turn it way back down. And I'd say to James Stroud, James, God, the banjo's so low, you can't even hear it. You know, well, you know, we want radio to play it. And then the Dixie Chicks hit right after that, and they had banjo. And from then on, for the last 25 years, everybody plays banjo. Nobody knows the little pain in my heart over that, because we were doing that, you know. We were together for 7 years. Mixing bluegrass and playing, having banjo on songs, and we'd get over there in the studio and they'd turn it way down, and we'd go out to the car and listen to the mix, you know. And I remember that last album we did, I said, "Man, James, you can't even hear the banjo at all." Oh, and he turned it up a little, you know, but so I said, the heck with Nashville, the heck with country music, I'm just going to do my own thing. And I just did. I did folk and country and bluegrass. Of course, it never got much airplay. I mean, but Vanguard picked me up the next day. We sent them the album, and they signed me. And then I didn't sell a lot of albums because I wasn't touring big time, and so they didn't renew my contract. And Kevin Welk, the grandson of Lawrence Welk, he was the head of Welk Music Group that owned Vanguard. And he said, you know, he really believed in me and loved my music, but he said, I don't know I can't sell your records if you're not out touring and playing. And I couldn't get anybody to sign me I don't know. It was horribly disheartening and hard to go to an agency and say, you know, like I remember talking to, I won't say who, but just different agencies, and they'd go, well, our roster's full, you know. I couldn't get anybody to pick me up. And I thought I would be able to get a deal even as a solo artist, maybe after Wild Rose. But the only person that showed interest, I met with him one time, and then nothing ever really became of that. It was just, I think he wanted me to do kind of country rock, and I wanted to do bluegrass, singer-songwriter, folk. And so we kind of went different ways, and that's when I did the Vanguard thing. But it was just hard to make a living, Bronson. I started cleaning houses in exchange for studio time, you know, out at Wanda's house. And she, in the meantime, gets on Music City Tonight and you know, Nashville, she just, you know, kept doing sessions and whatever. Nobody called me for any sessions. And they'd say, well, I think they think your voice is familiar. They're not going to hire you to sing a demo. I didn't get any demo sessions. Maybe one or something. I played banjo on a few things with Karen Staley, you know. But Terry Clark hired me to play banjo on.
And Patti Loveless.
Well, then that gig. So here I am struggling along after Wild Rose. Cleaning houses. I went back with the Coon Creek Girls, New Coon Creek Girls, and Dale Ann Bradley was with them at that point. And I loved that year out with them. We had a ball. I had a blast playing bluegrass again. It really healed my heart to get away from all that electric stuff and, you know, and play banjo again and just get done and go over and put my banjo in the case, you know, and us singing harmony. Oh, I loved it.